93 FM Stereo.
In conversation with Traffic Warden.
Yes, indeed, we are in conversation with 0829 913 913 is the WhatsApp line. That's where you can query, comment and or criticize. Home Affairs Minister Aaron Motsoaledi has confirmed a decision to deport 41 people who were part of a group of foreign nationals in Cape Town who demanded to be repatriated to a third country. Amongst those deported were two ringleaders of the 2019 protests. One of the ringleaders, Mr. Baloos, is still in a South African jail. Online for comment is legal expert at FGB Legal, Frederick Bakala, and Hafiz Muhammad, spokesperson for Women and Children Concern, WCC, a refugee advocacy group in Cape Town. Frederick Bakala, Hafiz Muhammad, assalamu alaikum. Gentlemen, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum.
Mr. Bakala, I'm going to start off with you from the legal viewpoint. I can remember during this particular story where a group of foreign nationals, they were ended up staying in a church in the city center, felt that they could be repatriated to a third country. Many felt that they could be going to places like Canada and the United States, according to the views of one or two of their leaders. Just run us through all of that over again, because the story does get a bit confusing at times.
Yeah, the story does get confusing at times because most of the people involved in this issue were pretty much acting out of ignorance, because in terms of the international regulations of the International Refugee Conventions, we have pretty much no mechanism that is allowing a refugee to make a demand to a country of hospitality in order to be transferred to a country of their choice. Because when one comes to a specific country to apply for asylum, we have to abide to the regulations of the country of hospitality. And then in this situation that we are pretty much experiencing, many of the people involved acted out of ignorance, with no knowledge of the international regulations, no knowledge of the United Nations agencies involved in this regard.
I'm going to go to you, Hafiz Muhammad, in trying to understand this whole situation. Frederick Bakala has given us the legal aspect of this. Why on earth were these three ringleaders, that's all I can call these people, telling fellow countrymen that they could go from Cape Town to another country like Canada, for example? What was behind this? I mean, were these ringleaders, were they making money out of this? Were they themselves misinformed? I mean, how do we understand this?
Thank you, Mr. Shafiq. Let me tell you one thing. From the beginning, we're demanding from 2019, we are not safe in the community because we need the protection. What we're demanding from that. And second thing, Minister of Home Affairs, Aaron Motsoaledi, he was always mentioning that we're demanding to go to the USA, Canada. We never demand. You can check out all the video clips from all the interviews. Even all of our leaders, when they're speaking, they never mention anybody. They never mention that we are demanding to go to Canada or USA or Europe, America, whatever. We not demand. Only he's the person, he's the minister, but he's speaking those kind of words because we didn't even mention in any interview. And second thing, they're talking about the three ring leaders, like Papi Sukami and Alim Bukuru and Mr. J.P. Baloos. J.P. Baloos is still in jail right now in Portsmouth. You can ask the Minister of Home Affairs. Maybe he don't know about Alim Bukuru and J.P. because Alim Bukuru and J.P., they have a international protection status from the UNHCR. They need the protection from international, where from any country. they're getting from UNHCR. Maybe IT say he don't know about that. If he know about that, he cannot mention those things. They're going to deport the Mr. JP, and they're already deporting Mrs. Alim Bukuru. Actually, the Mrs. Alim Bukuru, when they're deporting, still we don't know where she. This is the first thing. And second thing, when they're deporting her, I just get call from her, like when she was outside from Lindela. They're taking the 41 person or 41 people. Actually, I'm not sure when they was deporting them. So they're taking all the phones from those people who are deported. They're taking all the clothes, phones, all the belongings. They're taking postmen. They release them like without nothing. One thing. Second thing is that I think so they forget. Home Affairs Minister forget the 1951 Act, non-refoulement. The signature for non-refoulement, I think so they forget them. I think so he don't know what is the 1951 Act. One of must be correct because he always mentioned it, they're going to deport. They're going to deport. And the 1951 Act say like you cannot deport any refugees from your country. I just like to remind him.
Okay.
For this. Okay.
All right, I'm going to go back to Frederick Bakala. I can only go according to what I've read about this case. I'm not very familiar with it, but the minister, Mr. Motsoaledi, has alleged, I suppose that's the best way of putting it, that the people that Hafiz Muhammad is talking about, that some of them have been processed or they did apply for refugee status, but that this status was actually turned down. Is this true? Is there any truth in this? Did this happen? Has any due process, as far as you can understand legally, been followed through?
Okay, basically, based on the Home Affairs Refugee Center, the applications of asylum seeker or refugee status has to happen within the recognized precinct as per the Home Affairs regulations. So prior to these protests that took place in the city center, there is an office that is existing for the Home Affairs to process every foreign national coming into South Africa to apply for asylum or refugee status. So those people, they are being processed in the office that is based in Cape Town, not far from the waterfront. That's where they are being received, being interviewed, and upon interviews, they are now being given a response whether successful or unsuccessful. But when the person presents themselves, the people present themselves at the, what you call it, refugee center in Cape Town, they are first being given asylum. And with the asylum seeker, there is a process that they have to follow for them to be given a refugee status. So most of the people that were camping at the city center, some of them were having refugee status, some of them were having asylum seeker. And the issue beyond the camping at the city center was pretty much some of the people that were having the refugee centers, living in the refugee status, living in South Africa for more than 20 years. The refugee status were revoked, and some of them were given 6 months asylum seeker again. Or, as per the regulation of the Home Affairs, after you go, after issuing a refugee status to a foreign national, you are now eligible to a permanent citizenship status in South Africa. But all those processes being bypassed, I think that's what we might anger the people. And they went about camping at the city center, but they've done so without taking proper legal advice. Because if they did consult the people who are pretty much so well established in this kind of matter, they were going to give them adequate advice, legal advice that were going to allow them pretty much to take home affairs to court for their issue to be reviewed accordingly. But some of them acted pretty much as an ignorant thing about camping in the city center, demanding the United Nations High Commission of Refugees Agency, some of them wanting to go to the U.S., going to Canada, but the United Nations agency was not in a capacity to intervene due to the fact that there was no, there is pretty much no mechanism, be it the International Refugee Convention, be it the, what you call it, the Refugee Act of South Africa. None of those documents were having provision to move an asylum seeker from South Africa into a third country. So, resulting to the arrest of the people being sent to Portsmouth and so on, it was pretty much due to delinquency because they were not there, presenting their case to the authority of South Africa in the due process and causing a chaos in the city center, which is pretty much a CBD area of Cape Town, where many businesses are established. It was quite a havoc. And the Minister of Home Affairs has been intervened pretty much to preserve the image of the country. It was wrongly viewed by some of the refugees, some of the foreign nationals that were arrested. But it is also the individual responsibility of the people to be able to ascertain themselves with the legal procedures so that they cannot find themselves on the outside of the law. Because being a foreign national, coming into a country of hospitality and applying for asylum, you have to acquaint yourself with the legislation of the country. Because South Africa is a country that got policies. And we cannot come into South Africa as a foreign national applying for asylum seeker and you don't acquaint yourself with the regulations of the country. And when you go about acting, thinking that if you stand on the road and rioting, and people are going to align according to your doleances and pretty much grant you whatever you want. No, there is a procedure in place. And when it comes to moving from one country to another, it's pretty much an individual responsibility. It is not the responsibility of South Africa to negotiate with the United Nations agencies to move refugees from South Africa to a third country. That's pretty much part of the picture. That's, I can say, it's an unfortunate situation that some of them find themselves in Portsmouth being arrested, so forth, so on. But if they did actually seek proper legal advice, many of them will not find themselves in such situation.
Yeah, let's get back to Hafiz Muhammad in trying to understand and get our head around all of this. Is it true that the Minister Aaron Motsoaledi of Home Affairs has offered 3 months of board and lodging, I can put it that way, of food and accommodation? I think it's under tents. That's not certainly five star. That they've got that option. Or going back to countries of origin. Am I understanding it correctly?
Yeah, okay, Mr. Shazik, let me tell you one thing. One thing is, one problem is that Home Affairs Minister did, was he always tried to speak behalf of UNHCR, behalf of NGO, behalf of some other country, and he forget that he's a minister of South Africa, not a minister of UNHCR and other countries. This is the first thing. Second thing, I see he was speaking like a 3 month house renting and 3 months for food. Let me tell you, this is not offer from the Home Affairs of Minister. This is offer from UNHCR. He can stop talking behalf of UNHCR, right? And second thing, he was mentioning that there are two options. The reintegration and repatriation. Also, he's mentioned the UNHCR. Did you ever you hear that UNHCR said they only two options, the one repatriation and one reintegration? Mm-hmm. UNHCR never said something like that. We didn't hear anything like that because we also communicate with UNHCR. We also have a meeting with them every month, every minute. When we have a problem, we call them, we're chatting with them. We have all the information, but he always tried to talk behalf of those people. And second thing, he was mentioning like go back to your home country, ticket is free or something like that. I see he was mentioned also IOM, the one of NGO. They're offering, they're going to give the transport money for if anybody want to go back to their country individually. No, not force on their self, but Home Affairs Minister, what he did, this last deportation from the Lindela, they were sending some people to the Congo with cargo airlines, with their own, their South African cargo airlines. Did you ever you hear the people are sending, the people are deporting by hiding with cargo airlines? The first time I hear in my life. And second thing, when you're deporting the people, this is the main reason. Let me share with you main reason. They're deporting the people by force. Their children is here. How can you deport someone, their children and wife is here, and you just deport someone, husband, you just deport someone, father. So you just, how can you deport some children, his mother, without inform them? Where is those children will going to go? Because we are now look after those children. You know, some children, there is only 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. Their father is deported. Their mother is deported. Like some children, like 10 years. All the children is minor.
Okay. Harvest, what is... Yes. Sorry, Frederick. You want to come in? We're coming to the end, and I think we need to find out what is actually the answer to the problem that we're discussing here. Where does the answer lie? Frederick is a legal expert for a minute, and then Hafiz Muhammad, you can conclude.
Okay. Basically, today, if you can observe the world, you come to realize that refugees is a real issue in the world nowadays. That's pretty much without any debate. If we see what is happening in the Mediterranean side of Africa towards Libya, number of African people that are immigrating to Europe using boat or by sea, in the American continent, it's a big issue. We have seen what the United Nations have done at the borders with Mexico. They pretty much advanced quite a lot of people in the United Nations agencies to process refugees at the borders. Why? Because many countries are no longer coping with the number of refugees that are coming from countries day in, day out. In Europe, it's the same issue. We see countries like Denmark, they don't want to receive refugees anymore. Sweden, they don't want to receive refugees anymore. So in Europe, we only have France, Germany, Belgium, Italy, and even Greece. Now they are closing their borders to refugees. It's an issue that a number of countries don't want to deal with because it is being portrayed as a lack of responsibility to some countries of Africa who are not bettering the situations of their citizens and causing problems to other countries to deal with their people that are leaving their country to go seek for better life or green pastures. So to find a solution in this matter, it is a bit difficult due to the fact that we need to sit again around the member state of the United Nations, revise the International Refugee Convention and find mechanisms that will be pretty much workable, that will put country of hospitality at ease and people who are coming to apply for asylum at ease and balance the situation in such a way whereby the people coming to apply for asylum as well as the countries of receiving people are going to receive enough support from the United Nations for them to be able to process those people accordingly.
Right.
But most importantly, people who are immigrating from one country to another, they shouldn't be ignoring the policies of the country that they are actually applying for asylum. Due to the fact that if you omit the policies of the country that you are pretty much immigrating into, you will find yourself in disarray due to the fact that they won't be able to assist you due to the fact that you will be doing things that are going against their principles.
Okay. Yeah. So sorry, Frederick Bakala, I have to leave it there because I want to give Hafiz Muhammad a chance just to conclude for the last minute of the interview. Hafiz Muhammad, the solution. What are the solutions? Frederick has given us a very detailed international scenario in terms of the refugee problem worldwide, that countries are not being very welcoming. But Hafiz Muhammad, what's the answer right here in Cape Town and South Africa?
Okay, let me tell you one thing. We are demanding from the beginning until now, we are not safe in South Africa, and we don't want to stay anymore in South African community. And we also don't want also deportation, because we have our own problem in our country. That's why we are here. So it is a final decision is that from our side. If they, I hear like they want to, in two weeks, they want to come in to take the tent, shower, everything. If they want to take, they can take this up to them. We don't have any problem. We're not going to fight with them. We're not even going to bother them. We're going to stay on the sun. We don't have a problem, because we know we have no country. We have no place to go. So this is our last decision. If they want to come to kill us here, they can kill us here, because we have nowhere to go. This is the solution. Only the solution that God can be for safe place. But we're not demanding for Canada or USA or Europe. We're just demanding for safe place anyway. Anyway, that's all.
Hafiz Muhammad, all right, so I think you've made it very clear that the group in South Africa, they want a safe place anywhere. That is a human right. I don't think anybody could ever disagree with that. But Frederick Bakala, legal expert at FGB Legal, and Hafiz Muhammad, spokesperson for Women and Children Concern. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to make much progress, but hopefully those listening to us can understand something of the complexities of the problem. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
In conversation with Traffic Wardens.